This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And we're joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports every week. Brett, you got me and Paul today. Woodsy's at Disneyland. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, guys.
I saw you had a good crew out at the game this weekend, too, at Petco Park. Who was there? Andy Ashby. I saw Brian Lawrence in that picture. A couple of Randy Jones was there.
He's the staple. Yeah. Every time it seems like I go to a game, there's Randy. What a good dude.
You can't get rid of him if you wanted to. Yeah.
Is he like is he just the usher for the owner's box? Like he works there now?
He's great. He comes over. He's like, Booney, what are you doing?
Hey, Booney.
Hey, Randy. He goes, I want to thank you for coming out today. I said, you didn't even ask me to come. I got invited by Tommy Seidler. And he's like, well, I just have to say that. So I love Randy Jones. What a great man. And Rupert Jones was there.
Chris Gomez,
Gomi was there. It was good to see Gomi. I haven't seen him in a long time. Loretta was floating around, but I guess business called, so he didn't get in the stellar picture.
Always working with it. You were at Sunday's game, so you saw the Phillies complete the sweep. Tough series for the San Diego Padres. They did bounce back last night. I just want to get, first of all, just some of your observations on what you saw from the team, you know, up close and getting to see them in action. That was the able to pull that one out either. Just kept Phillies just had an answer for everything the Padres did on Sunday.
Well, sometimes in this game over 162, you catch a team, and it doesn't matter what you do, they're going to beat you. Phillies are in that mode right now. I mean, they were just kind of in the zone, and you just want them to get out of town as soon as possible. Always nice to sneak a game out, but they weren't able to do that. I'm watching this team. You know, Padres are sitting there. They're 15-18, kind of in the middle of the division. A lot of these teams in this division that I thought were going to be off to a better start than this aren't. So they're in the middle of the pack. I don't know. I think we see some real positive signs from the young kid, Merrill. How was he going to do at 20 years old starting the season? He's held his own. Profar's been a real boon for them. But it comes to Cronenworth off to a good start. But you need the big guy. You need Tatis, Machado, Bogarts. They're going to be the guys that carry this offense. Now, on the pitching side, it was good to see Darvish back last night, pitched 5 scoreless innings, got the Padres back on the winning trail after dropping 5 straight. The concern for me is I think Dylan Cease is going to be good. I think King's still in that in-between mode, you know, where he's been a reliever, he's a starter. It seems he's got nasty stuff, but it seems he always finds one inning where he makes a couple mistakes that cost him. That's happened to him in a couple of his starts this year. Waldron's done a nice job. I was watching Musgrove the other day, and I have a little concern with Musgrove. He's just not right. He seems like he doesn't want to throw the fastball, and when he does throw the fastball, he doesn't want to throw the fastball for a strike. That really becomes, from an offensive perspective, it really becomes a predictable thing. So right now, as a hitter, I know he doesn't want to throw me a fastball for a strike, so I can just ignore the fastball and sit on the breaking ball. Problem is, too, is when he's throwing the breaking ball, he's either hanging it or he's missing by a foot and a half off the plate. So it's not a swing and miss pitch. And when it is a strike, it's right in the middle of the plate. So he's got some things to that he's got to work out. I mean, Musgrove, I've loved this guy ever since he's become a Padre. I think he's a horse, but he's got some things to work out right now. Really predictable with that fastball. And I remember guys, you know, guys in my generation, they go through that where before the game, we'd have a team meeting, especially with the hitters, and say, hey, this guy don't want to throw you a fastball for a strike. And a lot of times, as soon as I hear that, I ignore fastball. If he throws me three fastballs down the middle, I'm going to tip my cap and move on to the dugout. But when I feel like you're scared and you're not quite trusting in your fastball, it makes easy pickings, especially for an elite team that'll wait you out and sit on that breaking ball.
So let me ask you this, Brett, because you know Joe's pitching today, and his struggles have led to speculation that the shoulder injury that shut him down last year may be having an effect. That you know the velo's down a little bit. The command, obviously, as you said, on the breaking ball is not quite there, and it's led people to say, well, maybe he's not right. Now Joe denies that. He says, no, I feel healthy. I feel good to go. As a player, how often would you hide an injury? Would you downplay an injury because you want to stay in the lineup? You want to work it out on the field? And at what point does that become a disservice to your team where you actually do need to say, you know what, I'm not right, and you probably do need to shut me down for a little bit? What's that, you know, that equation like in your head as a player when you're thinking about addressing it with your manager or the training staff?
Well, I've had, you know, I was pretty lucky in my career not to have too many injuries, but you point out a good, especially in today's game, there's a great point there. These guys today, they'll shut you down for anything. It's like, oh, I'm a little sore up, let's take a week off. You know, it seems like the 10-day IL is like no big deal. Whereas in my day, it was kind of, wait a minute, I can't miss 10 games. You know, I've got numbers to hit. I need to be out there for my teammates. So it becomes, it's a subjective thing, if you know what I'm saying. I've had injuries. Like I said, I was very lucky to be pretty injury-free throughout my career. I had a couple that held me back, but for the most part, I was pretty healthy. When I did have something that I was dinged up and was affecting me, I'd always caution on the side of, I feel fine, don't worry about it. Now, depending on who's in the mix, yeah, the guys I can trust, I'm going to go to and say, hey, my quads, it's kind of hurting me right now, but I can get through this. And it's really, there's no foolproof way to really decide, is he right, is he wrong? It's like, you kind of got to trust the player, and hey, if you're 90%, I'll take a Joe Musgrove at 90% versus shutting him down. Now, I don't want an injury to be a possibility because you're not 100%, you're 90%. But at the same time, you got to kind of make that adjustment. I was a second baseman, middle of the lineup guy. If I was 80%, I felt, well, 80% kind of is better than the alternative. But when it gets to a point where it's hurting your team, you kind of have to kind of look in the mirror with clear lenses and just say, you know, this isn't good for me right now. This isn't good for my team right now. I got to go and I got to take care of this and get healthy and back to pitching the way I can. Because Joe Musgrove, as we all know and have seen throughout the years, when he's right, he's a horse, top of the rotation guy that you can count on. When you come to the ballpark and Musgrove's pitching and it is in peak Musgrove form, you think, we got a win for us tonight. So it's one of those things. It's a touchy situation where you kind of have to make the judgment. It's usually the player, especially an established one of the main guys. He's usually got a little more leeway than a rookie that just came up as far as whether he's going to go or he's not going to go. It's up to Joe. But what I saw last start, I see a few things that trouble me a little bit. It'll be interesting to see how he throws the ball today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Talking to Brett Boone, Insider Calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry, backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. So this is actually Paulie's idea, and I thought it was a brilliant question to ask you. We played some audio earlier today. Brian Kenny on MLB Network was talking about trading Fernando Tatis Jr.
Have you seen this clip going around?
I don't know if you've seen the clip, but he basically says no one would take Fernando Tatis Jr. because his numbers are down since the suspension, and no one would want to take on that contract. I think that's one of the most insane things I've ever heard.
Maybe one team might be interested in trading.
I think there'd be 29 teams that would be interested in Fernando Tatis Jr. And then he said, maybe like Nick Castellanos and a pitching prospect if the Phillies offered that. I go, Petco Park would riot if they traded Fernando Tatis Jr. for Nick Castellanos right now. There's no chance. But it Paulie then had the idea. Obviously, dumb things are said about professional athletes all the time by members of the media. Do you remember in your career any time that something like really stupid was said about Brett Boone in the media and you heard it and like you either had to react or not react to it? You had to comment about it. What were some of the like dumb things that would get said about you as a ball
player? Or even a teammate, maybe.
Or a teammate even, yeah.
Well, back in our day, it was different. It was different. The pay scale was different. Don't get me wrong. We were paid very handsomely in my day, not compared to what the guys were playing today, but it seemed like every year, and I remember the last contract I signed in the early 2000s, and I went out and I was, let's see, I was a second baseman. I was coming off an 0-1 year where it would be tough for me to match the numbers.
That was a great year, yeah.
0-2, I drove in like 109 and hit, I don't know, 25 or 26 homers, hit 280. And I remember the calls where Boone's overrated. He's way overpaid. And I'm going, I'm a second baseman driving in over 100, winning gold gloves. And it was just a different time. Now, as far as ludicrous, I'll tell you what, I can say it now because I'm, 17 years removed. There were some things that came out that seemed so ludicrous that, what are you talking about? Where really there was some truth to it, but I would dismiss it because it was so ridiculous. Oh, come on. I didn't do that on a golf course with this guy. He's crazy. And behind the scenes, I'm going, well, he's got something there. But no, not too many crazy things. This Tatis thing by Kenny, I haven't seen it, but what you guys are telling me, that's absurd. I mean, Fernando Tatis, yeah, he's got a long way to go, but he's got that. He's the full package. And when he's going and when he gets it right, he's got that MVP type ability. And not to mention the swagger that he's got. He's got that LA De La Cruz, Acuna, that persona that, you put him on the cover of the media guide for the next 10 years and he brings people in. People in San Diego go to the ballpark to watch Fernando Tatis Jr. play. And there's not too many people. Trout does that. A Bryce Harper does that. Now we're seeing some young players that people will come to the ballpark. Of course, Ohtani, you'll come to the ballpark to watch Ohtani play. Tatis is in that category of draws that, yeah, you just can't get away from it, especially people that aren't baseball fans. It's like, you want a Padre game? Yeah, I want to see this Tatis Jr. kid play. I mean, he's that type of draw. So to say that one of 2019, that's a little bit ludicrous. I'm not going to say 29 teams would trade for him, but let's be realistic here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, the Marlins aren't going to trade for him right now because there are some teams that just don't want to spend any money, but that's a different issue entirely.
Can you even imagine, Booney, like, walking into the clubhouse before all your pregame warm-ups, you got MLB Network on in the clubhouse there, and, like, they're talking about a scuffling, maybe, not even really scuffling. Fernando's having a fine, he's doing okay, so he's good, he's in... No,
he's doing okay. I'll tell you what, for his standards, no, he's not doing okay. He's got six homers.
Sure.
He's hitting right around .240, but it's the first month.
Yeah, but his expected batting average is over .300. He's been one of the unluckiest players in baseball, just ripped lineouts all over the park. I know you knew that feeling when you were squaring it up and it just always seemed to find a glove, and then you'll go through a couple of weeks where you're not hitting it that hard, and all of a sudden they're all blooping in, and it makes no sense for a baseball player.
Right. No, without a doubt. And Tatis, I have full confidence that if he remains healthy, feeling good, the cream will rise to the top. He's too good. Even on his worst year, he'll have a borderline all-star year. That's the type of talent Fernando Tatis is. And I don't worry about anything where his numbers are in April. 3 or 4 months from now, we'll see, and I'll guarantee you, all his numbers will start to fall in place where everybody thinks they should be.
I had a benches clearing, or like a real one, brawl yesterday between the Rays and the Brewers. Not those, you know, baseball, everyone just stands around kind of brawls, but actually some punches thrown. You have any stories for us of real benches clearing brawls that you got involved in during your career?
Wow, man, this is story day. Yeah, I actually got one that I think you'll like. And Pedro Martinez is on the mound. We're in Montreal. This is the early 90s, mid-90s. And he's pitching a perfect game. And I'm watching this, though. I'm hitting behind Reggie Sanders, who was also, you know, Padre. I'm hitting behind Reggie Sanders, and I'm watching how this is. And Pedro's pinpoint this particular day. And he keeps buzzing Reggie's tower and then striking him out with breaking balls. I think he struck him out at least twice, maybe three times. And I remember Reggie pointing at him with the bat and saying, I'll tell you what. You throw one more pitch near me, and there's going to be a problem. Yeah, I don't think he said that. I think he was a little more verbal than that. But I saw that, okay? I saw that interaction. So fast forward, I don't know if it's the seventh, eighth inning. Pedro's got a perfect game. He hasn't given up a walk. Reggie comes to the plate, and the first pitch squares him up in the back. Reggie, as if you know Reggie at all, is one of the kindest men in the world, but he's one of those guys where you go over the line with him and he snaps. You don't want to be around.
But Pedro didn't want to hit him. He had a perfect game going.
Or
No. 100% Pedro drilled him on purpose.
Even with a perfect game.
He threw away a perfecto.
Without a doubt. Because on this particular day, I had to go up there and get in the box. He wasn't missing an inch from where he wanted to throw the ball. So Reggie gives the point of the bat at him, threatens Pedro, and says, you throw one more near me. And then the next pitch, he drills him in the back. And everybody, Ben, they said what you said. No way he possibly did that. It's a perfect – you got to know Pedro. You got to know the history. I came up with Pedro in the minor leagues. Pedro doesn't care. Pedro is one of those guys. He does not give a rat's ass about a perfect game. A no-hitter. If he's going to drill you, he's going to drill you. That was part of his persona. That was part of his ambiance, you know, the mysteriousness. Pedro could drill you at any time. Without a doubt, he drilled. That was one of the biggest fights I've seen. I was in the middle of it. I wasn't throwing any haymakers. It'd be fun to say that I got bloody. I didn't. I was kind of the, hey, you know, push and try. Hey, get away from him. Get away, you know, breaking it up. But Pedro, I don't think Reggie ever got to Pedro. I think he was in center field by the time Reggie got to the mound. But that was one of the bigger brawls I was in.
Crazy that he would give up a perfect game just to make a point.
I'll go to my grave. Absolutely no question in my mind he drilled him on purpose.
Oh, wow. I can't even. I
That's
mean,
incredible.
How tough was it to face that guy? I mean, I can't even imagine.
Oh, man, on a good day, he was tough. He had 4-plus pitches. And, you know, it's tough enough when a guy has 2-plus pitches. But Pedro in his day for about 3 or 4 years, he had 4-plus pitches. He could throw any pitch at any time. So it was that 3-1 changeup. Is it that 3-1 slow hook, that 3-1 slider, that electric fastball painted? So, he was something. I found a way when Pedro was pitching, or any elite number one type guy, always my mentality was a knock and a walk. If I can get a knock today and I can walk, pull a 1-for-3, I'm going to help my team maybe win a game today. Because those guys, you got to take what you can get. Pedro was definitely tough. I think I got him a couple times, though. I took him deep.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. Brett,
but I'll tell you, it was no fun facing him.
Great stuff, as always. Hopefully we'll catch up with you again soon. Thank you, man. Have a great rest of your week. There he is, Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider Calls presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.